Kane and Bucks. Can't stop addicted to the
shindig. A sports news update for Club Tokemwal, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the golf package team today.
Basic Club Tokemwal on the Murray, your next golfing holiday. They bring us Tom Morris live in the studio, if you don't mind. Tom, welcome in. Let's chat about the MRO.
Yeah, the MRO has had a busy weekend, Kane, because Zach Butters got off for his, you call it a high bump. It's really a high collision, is it, on Bailey Banfield? The reason is because Zach Butters' hands were down, so therefore he was contesting the ball. What I can't believe about this, it wasn't a free kick. It should have been a free kick because he did get him high. It was a glancing blow. If this was a chargeable offence and it was considered careless, then this would have been at least 2 or 3 weeks because of the potential to cause serious injury. But because his hands were down, it was considered that he was attacking the ball. This was distinct from the incident with Matt Crouch at Marvel Stadium on the weekend. Matt Crouch elected to brace and was protecting space. And as a result, he's been given 1 week, and the Crows have until this morning to determine whether they'll challenge it or not.
We referenced David King's comments on First Crack earlier on this morning. Here's some of what he had to say last night on these incidents.
Well, I want to know whether we're protecting the head or we're protecting the Brownlow. I think if it was Jimmy Webster, he gets 4 weeks. It's Zach Butters and he's in contention for all the major awards and he's a star factor player, we go into a different mode. We find ourselves making excuses. Oh, no, he got his hand on the ball, he did this. To me, you're either taking a stance and you're protecting the welfare of all players, not just the one guy spearing in, all players, or you're not. And I'm disappointed that after all the progress that we'd made, I think, over the previous 18 months, we've given it all back at round 5.
Bucks, you disagree?
I do. Yeah, I think... I don't think Crouch's actions were much different to Butters or Libbers. You thought that Crouch braced?
Yes.
And then he went to the ball second. So you would have had a look at it.
Yeah, like
slow mo. Does Crouch have his hands down at all?
No.
Okay.
What Crouch is trying to do is protect space so he can pick up the ball, rather than pick up the ball initially.
Yeah, okay.
In protecting space, that's the contact that's made.
So did you, when you said about Butters, you know, the chance to significantly injure, should Crouch have got more than 1 week, given that in...
Yeah, I think this was the high end of medium, which was 1 week. This could have easily been high impact, which would have been 2 weeks. And he's probably lucky it wasn't. But in the end, they've decided to go with medium.
Do you disagree with Kingy to the point that he says about
Brownlow's, we're
grading incidents on who the player is? That was a lesson.
I don't agree with that at all. And Kingy's in later today, but I don't think the whole he mentioned, you know, are we waiting for someone to be in a wheelchair before, you know, we look at this? I really don't believe. I thought that his language was inflammatory, but Kingy's all in on this, and I understand about protecting the players' heads, but it's a difficult situation to consider. Like Libba went the contest we saw with Crouch and Carroll was nearly identical to Libba and Goldstein's. Only Libba went and won the ball as he was doing exactly what Crouch did with Carroll. He did the Goldstein. Now, Libba won the ball, but Goldstein won the free kick, and there was head contact. But there hasn't been a sanction placed on him. I think that so many players lead with their heads now.
To get a free kick.
With poor technique, it used to be to get a free kick because of the change in the rules, and players started leading with their heads, knowing that the rule was protecting them rather than protecting themselves. Now, that's caused more of an issue, I think, in today's footy because we now have really poor technique, like Carroll's and Goldstein's, and not so much Banfield's, but that is actually causing head contact rather than the player who's actually going the ball.
What about some of the injuries over the weekend?
Yeah, there's been some serious injuries. It's just one last one. I think Elliot Yeo's likely to get a week yesterday for his tackle on Nick Floston, so watch for that today. We'll know more in a few hours' time. Staying with injuries, Carlton, 3 hamstrings. So Adam Chera was a late withdrawal. Adam Saad with a hammy. and Mitch McGovern with a hammy as well. So they've got an injury list of 13 players at the moment. I think Richmond's up to 16 players. And I did the maths last night, or not the maths, I looked at the list. I think the Tigers are missing 7 of their best 10 players and maybe 12 of their best team. They've got a huge injury list, and this was exacerbated with Jaden Short's calf yesterday as well. So the Tigers are really struggling. Some good news, though. Max King, the Saints couldn't rule out an ACL here, but he's a chance to play on Thursday night. I still think unlikely, but a chance, so that's good news. And Stephen Cornelio with a medial ligament will miss 2 weeks. Sam Taylor, a concussion is 12 days, but the Giants are playing twice in that period, so he'll miss 2 games this week and the week after.
And that wasn't your normal concussion either. We'll speak to Adam Kingsley about that shortly, but he was unconscious for a fair amount of time. So whether that factors in the recovery time as well, I suspect that it will. Coaching contracts, no one's out of contract this year, are they?
No, they're not. Not anymore, because Justin Longmuir re-signed and Matthew Nicks re-signed as well. It was about this time last year that we spoke about Damien Hardwick and the fact that he was out of contract in 18 months' time. And you think, well, it's early to start looking at that. But there's just two coaches I want to put in the agenda now, because at some stage, the tenure for John Longmire and Chris Fagan will come to an end, probably by their own choice, you'd think, especially John Longmire. They've got Dean Cox waiting in the wings. How long can Fagan and Longmire go on for? And would they go into next year out of contract at the end of the season, do you think, both of them?
Well,
not many coaches do these days.
Longmire can go for a lot longer yet, I would have thought.
Like, if he wants to.
If he wants to, yeah. But whether that's at Sydney or at whether he's prepared to go to another club, I don't know. But for me, like, he's still a top three coach in the league.
Yeah. Has it not been suggested that he is reaching that stage where he's ready to hand it over?
I haven't heard him say that.
No, I haven't heard him say that, but I have heard it suggested.
Well, that would just be an opinion, maybe.
Yeah.
But right now they're going pretty well, and he's at the top of his game.
I've always seen and admired him. He and Chris Scott have been the two in my time that I just look at, and I just think, just remarkable man managers that have stood the test of time, that have continued to evolve and stay up to date, open-minded with current trends, not just of the way the game is played, but on you know, how to handle the generation of players that are coming up. He could coach for as long as he wanted to.
Hinkley's got to be in that category as well.
He does.
I want to ask Bucks about the succession plan, so-called, and we spoke to Chris Davies on Friday, and he pushed back pretty hard with me and Kingy on that and the way that the club sees it. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on, but he needs to be factored in as well. And I just wonder where Chris Scott fits in it, whether a club can pry him out of Geelong, a club Scott's, like Brisbane.
Scott's got another year on top of that, but Brisbane would make sense if he wants to move clubs. The other one is Sam Mitchell at Hawthorn, who's out of contract at the end of next year. David King always says the rebuild coach rarely survives, and the Hawks are struggling at the moment. This is not to say that they'd want to move him on, but they would want some stronger improvements if they're going to re-sign him before the start of next season, I would have thought.
Matty Nicks survived the rebuild. He's gone through that and
so far
got a contract. Well, what do you factor in surviving? Like, he's been there for, this is 5, isn't it? And he's signed another 2.
Yeah.
So that's a fair time.
How many rebuild coaches lead their clubs to flags?
Well, I'm talking time frame, though. Like, that'd be ridiculous to move on from Sam Mitchell at that point.
I agree.
Going through such a significant rebuild. Hey, stick around, because we're going to have you for a little bit longer yet. The AFL special announcement. We're going to hear from Alistair Clarkson. There's a whole heap of other news. Scotty Scheffler now 2 strokes clear. Oberg just birdied the 12th, I think it was, so he's 6 under. So maybe a little bit of a chapter still to be written at the Masters this morning. We will keep you updated. Tom Morris is here thanks to Cobram Estate. It is Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.
Kane and Bucks.
Can't stop addicted to the, just fed up with it, to be fair. Like, now we've got 3 families in Ballarat grieving. You get the same thing after every one of them, drugs or alcohol. And yet as a society, as a government or whatever, it's, oh, my fellow Australians, we're grieving for our lost ones again. When's it actually going to change? When are people actually going to do something about the scourge on society, which is drugs and alcohol?
That was Alistair Clarkson after the game yesterday. It was probably missed in the evening news and other outlets, but he went on a I don't want to say a tangent because I think it's completely justified in many respects, but he certainly left his football portfolio and entered an area which most coaches don't enter a lot of the time. It reminded me of Steve Kerr in the NBA. He preached and lectured about issues that were not football related. And I know North Melbourne has been caught up indirectly, I guess, in the disaster that was those Sydney murders. But it was quite remarkable to listen to Alistair Clarkson's monologue yesterday afternoon.
That's the first I'd heard of it. Yeah. If he'd have prefaced or referenced the illicit drug policy of the AFL and called for the AFL to remove the welfare and wellbeing and make it more punitive, that might have had a pointy end to it. But it's pretty open. It's a pretty open refrain around the scourge that he's talking about, which is accurate. But what do we do about it? What are the AFL doing about it? So I suppose coaching and coaches have a platform, and they have it at the beginning of the week and at the end of the week. I don't mind if coaches use it.
Yeah. Scheffler and Oberg both birdied. Scheffler's 9-under through 13. Oberg is 7-under through 14.
You've had a few texts here, mate. Aberg, not Oberg, but it is, in fact, Oberg. Listen to the commentary.
Well, that's why I asked the question at listen the start of the commentary, because it's spelt Aberg, but it's pronounced Oberg. But thanks for all those people texting through. What's the AFL special announcement this morning?
I don't know is a short answer. I know that they're going to appoint an AFLW footy boss in the next week or two. So I'm wondering.
Who is it?
I don't know. Okay. I'm wondering whether it's today. I'd love to tell you more, but I can't because I don't know. The AFLW footy boss is an important role, and I think this role is going to be slightly different according to CEOs who had a meeting with Laura Kane last week.
How so? Do you think it's going to be different?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just not going to be the same as what Nicole Livingston was. I'm interested as to whether this position is on the executive. I think it should be, but we'll find out maybe this morning.
Any standout players in the VFL?
Yeah, there was. Caleb Daniel, I heard you mentioned before, had 26 disposals. Callan Ward had 33 touches. You can ask Adam Kingsley about him and whether he comes in for Stephen Cornelio this week. Lockie Hunter's coming back from a calf, who had 23. Jared Lyons had 37 disposals in a one-point loss to North Melbourne for the Brisbane Lions. Question for you, Kane. Guard of honour for Rhys Stanley's 200th. Thoughts?
I'm okay with 200.
Yep.
Don't give me 150. Don't give me 250. Don't give me the opposition. Was it the opposition that lined up?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I didn't just ask you for no reason, Kane.
No. Ridiculous. Was that North Melbourne lined up?
Yeah.
Well, that says all you need to know about North.
Can I just mention Bailey Smith and the Western Bulldogs for a moment?
Yeah, you think he's going?
Oh, that's a bit strong. I think he's every chance to go. Just because of, the Dogs think Jamar is staying, and he will, probably on a two-year deal. They think they're going to be able to hold on to Tim English, who Lee Matthews was really strong about last night on Footy Furnace, said that he's playing soft football at the moment. They're none the wiser about Bailey Smith. So there's three clubs, really, that as far as I can see, are in the hunt for him. Collingwood, Geelong and Hawthorn. I'm not sure about Essendon. They have the finances as whether they want him. And Bailey Smith has given no indication whatsoever to the Western Bulldogs that he wants to stay at all. There's a two-year deal in front of him, hasn't even looked at it. It's going to be intriguing to see what happens. And then what's he worth in a trade after a year out of footy?
Yeah, Amit Baines was with SEN over the weekend and they asked that question, Jared, is there any indication he wants to stay? And he said, no.
Yep.
Pretty blunt. So not a good sign.
The other part of it that we need to consider is that, you know, free agencies come in and players do have a choice.
But he's not free agent yet. He's got two more years until he's a free agent. He's just out of contract.
So was Josh Dunkley, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Another quick one. Steve Rosic, St Kilda CEO. Keep an eye on it.
All right, Tom. Outstanding work, mate. Appreciate it. We'll watch you on Channel 9 News tonight. Big last hour coming up on SEN Breakfast. Adam Kingsley to join us.